All right, well, take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 3. The book of Galatians, chapter 3. The children may be dismissed at this time to children's church. And while you're turning there, I forgot to mention this earlier today. Next week will be Choir Sunday, and then I'm going to need help with the choir on July 1st as well. So, choir, you better get ready. And be up here next week and the following week as we worship the Lord. Thank you for worshiping this morning. And if you would, as you turn to Galatians chapter 3, if you would stand with me in honor of God's Word. We're picking back up where we left off a couple of weeks ago. Paul speaking on justification through faith. But this morning, we're looking at the blessing through faith. This being Father's Day, we're going to talk about the Father of Faith, who is? I heard a couple mutters out there. Oh, hey, there it is. Somebody's awake. The Father of Faith is, say it with me, Abraham. Let's say it again. The Father of Faith is Abraham. There you go. All right. Galatians 3, verse 1. Paul starts off real loving here. You foolish Galatians, who has cast a spell on you or bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? I only want to learn this from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard, the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now finishing or made perfect by the flesh? Did you experience so much for nothing, if in fact it was for nothing? So then, does God give you the Spirit and work miracles among you by your doing the works of the law? Or is it by believing what you heard or the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham, who believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness. You know then that those who have faith, these are Abraham's sons. Now the Scripture saw in advance that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and proclaim the gospel ahead of time to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed through you. Consequently, those who have faith are blessed with Abraham, who had faith. Would you pray with me this morning? Our Father, we come before you once more. We thank you for the giving of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that this life that we now live, the salvation that we've received by faith in you and in you alone, in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit so we might understand your word, that we might understand your truth, that we might be sealed, and that you might guide us through life. And we thank you that you work even now, Father, in our lives as you've ordained. Lord, I pray this morning that you would take your word, that you would apply it to our hearts, that you would enable me to preach it with clarity, with power, with conviction, because, Lord, it is your word. That you would give us receptive hearts to what you've said for your name's sake and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to speak this morning, you may be seated, about the blessing of faith. And I got to say, as I'm starting off, couple of weeks, being able to see people come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ brings you back to beginnings. It brings you back to where you started. And that's what Paul's trying to do here. He's trying to bring these believers who've gotten astray, they've gotten tricked, bewitched, seduced, so to speak, by the idea that, okay, yeah, we received Jesus as Savior, but now we've got to do something to stay saved, or we've got to add to something that Jesus has already done. And so they're beginning to believe that something else must be done in order to achieve righteousness before God. And Paul's arguing, as we've been looking at the last month or so, that it is only justification by faith. But in doing so this morning, like I said, he goes back to their beginning. How did they begin? I want to give you three questions this morning. You jot these down, and this is what the message will take shape around. First of all, how did you begin in the Christian life? How did you begin? That's what Paul asks here. Secondly, in whom have you believed? In whom have you believed? And finally, are you walking in the blessing? Are you walking in the blessing? How did you begin? In whom have you believed? And are you walking in the blessing? One of the amazing things, like I said, is to see people come to simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and also to see how God orchestrates events in order to bring a person to faith. I want to share a couple of stories with you this morning. I'll share one now, and Lord willing, one at the end of the sermon. But one of the ones that really I saw God's hand at work in bringing a person to saving faith. It was the last day that we were going out witnessing. It was actually the last hour that we were going to be doing it. And we knocked on the door, and every day when we were paired up, we'd go out in a van of 15 people, and then we were paired up with two other people. There's always at least one man and one woman in the group. And so in the group that I was working in, it had two ladies and myself, and we were going door to door, knocking on the door, inviting them to an event, and then asking about the relationship with the Lord. And the people that you would encounter from all different backgrounds, some that have never even heard the name of Christ, in Fort Worth, Texas, by the way. Some that have heard but have received a confused gospel. We encountered several Jehovah's Witnesses. Encountered Muslims who have heard of Christ but do not believe in any way that he was God's son, just a great prophet. And then just people that were indifferent. A lot of closed doors when you do this type of thing. But what's amazing is not the closed doors. It's amazing how God will use the closed doors to bring you to the one person that needs to hear in just that moment. Amen? And so what happened on that last day, in that last hour, we were tired, and I was working with a couple of ladies, and we had knocked on a house, and there was this girl that came to the door, young lady. She's in her 20s. I say girl. She was in her 20s, and she had her son with her. She was visiting her grandfather. He spoke Spanish, and hablo español muy poquito, which means I speak very little. And so she spoke English, and so she came, and we shared the gospel with her. She had never been to church, and she was very interested in what in the truth of the gospel. And we went through it very simply, and we got to the end, and we're witnessing, and I asked her, would you like to receive the Lord Jesus? Would you like this free gift? After explaining the entire gospel, going through the Romans Road at that point with her, and she said yes. And so we're excited, and we'll say, would you like to do that now? Now? Oh no, I don't want to do that right now. And then so we tried to share with her, well, you know, now's the time. Well, I want to study it more. I have more questions about it. So we left her with the Gospel of John and encouraged her to read it, but left a little bit discouraged because she seemed so close, so intently listening to the truth of the gospel, but did not want to take that step of faith at that moment. As we turned to go, one of the ladies that was in our group, it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 100 degrees outside, she said, Nathan, I didn't eat lunch today, and I've got some snacks in my bag, but I'm feeling really faint. Can we sit down? It was hot. Absolutely. Let's go sit under that shade tree over there across the street. We're sitting on a curb, and we just sat down there, and we were drinking some water, and she was eating her snack, and honestly, I thought, well, you know, it's after 4 o'clock. We're supposed to be back at 5. We'll just sit here, let the van come pick us up and be done. We're tired. And we've been there about 5 to 10 minutes, and suddenly I heard a door close behind us and turn around, and two young people come out from the door and start walking towards their vehicle around the side. And so we called to them and waved them over there. They were in their 20s, and Damien was one of them, and started sharing with Damien, and one of the girls was sharing with him, his girlfriend, Zeluma, was standing back and texting on her phone, just kind of in the background. And as we were sharing with Damien, come to find out, he had received the Lord Jesus as Savior 4 years previous while he was in prison and gotten baptized there. But he said, honestly, I've not been walking with the Lord. And so we began to counsel with him about that. Meanwhile, one of the girls in our group, whose name is Joy, she said, well, I should go talk to Zelma. And so she went over there and started witnessing to her. She said, for some reason, the Lord just laid on my heart to share with her the story of the one lost sheep. You know the parable Jesus told of the one lost sheep, how he had the shepherd had 100 sheep and one of them was lost. And so he left the 99 and he went and searched everywhere for the one lost one. And when he found it, he came back rejoicing and called all his friends together and said, come feast with me, come have a banquet. My sheep was lost and now it's found. I found the one lost sheep. And as she's sharing that story, Zelma stopped her and said, do you know who that sheep is? And Joy was surprised. She said, well, who? Zelma said, that sheep is me. I'm lost. She said, I just graduated from college and I have no idea what I'm going to do with my life. And what you're sharing with me right now, I need. I'm lost. And it was Joy's privilege and then our privilege to witness as Zelma came to saving faith that very moment, accepted Christ as Savior as the gospel was laid out to her, and she accepted it freely and she said, where do you go to church? She wanted to be in church the very next day. You see, God allowed a closed door in order to direct us to an open door, somebody that was just ripe for the gospel. God will do the same thing in your life. As we go through here, the blessing of faith, it's important for us to remember how we began in our Christian walk. Was it by a bunch of effort? Was it by a bunch of work that we did? Or as Paul said, was it simply the hearing of faith, believing in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ? Look with me again in Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. You foolish Galatians, who's cast a spell on you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? Paul points these believers back to the cross. He says, listen, here's what's happening. If you believe that you need to do something else in order to earn God's favor, in addition to what Jesus has already done, you're pulling down the great sacrifice that Jesus has made on your behalf. He points them back to the cross and he says, listen, we told you exactly how Jesus was crucified on your behalf. That he was perfect, the perfect Son of God, and had no blemish in him whatsoever. In fact, the only fault that the religious leaders could find in him was the fault that he claimed to be the Son of God. That's the reason they crucified him. They said, he's blaspheming. But guess what? His claim was true, right? He even said to them, you tell me, convince me. Which of you tells me, convicts me of sin? Point out the sin that I've done. And the only thing that they could say that he had done wrong was they said, well, you claim to be God's son. The fact that he had never sinned should have been proof enough, right? And yet, he went to the cross willingly on our behalf, suffered and died, and when he was at his last breath, he uttered those words, it is finished, completed. That means there's nothing else that's necessary after Christ's crucifixion and resurrection. Paul points the believers in Galatia back to the cross. What he does here actually is he wants them to realize that they have entered into relationship with the triune God. With each member of the Godhead. And that's what he does. He's saying, you've entered into the relationship with the triune God by faith. It was by faith that you believed in what Jesus had done on the cross. That he had done it on your behalf. That he had suffered and died on your behalf. And then by faith, you believe that he was risen from the dead gloriously, triumphing over death and hell and the grave. And now is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You didn't do anything to earn that. You simply entered it by faith. That's what Paul's reminding these believers. But then, he says in verse 2, I want to learn this from you. He's asking basically the same question, but he's asking, how did you come into fellowship with the Spirit? Did you receive the Spirit by working, by the works of the law? Or by believing what you heard. He goes to the third member of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit, he says, you didn't do something to earn the Holy Spirit. You didn't perform some work in order for the Holy Spirit to come upon you. No, you simply believed the message that you received, and the Holy Spirit moved into your life and inhabited your heart and sealed you eternally, as it says in Ephesians chapter 1. By faith, they trusted in Christ's completed work on the cross and in His resurrection. By faith, they received the Holy Spirit who seals and sanctifies the believer. It's the Holy Spirit who now guides us into all truth and teaches us and instructs us in what we should do. It's the Holy Spirit that speaks to us when we shouldn't do something. It's the Holy Spirit that prompts us when we should. And as we're obedient to that, He sanctifies us. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by the works of the law? Or by believing, the hearing of faith, by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish after beginning by the Spirit? Are you now finishing by the flesh? You see, a lot of us can get the idea that yes, I received Jesus as Savior, and I understand that, Brother Nathan, that He's the one who justifies me, but now it's up to me to work that out. Doesn't the Bible say, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling? And yes, it does in Philippians chapter 2. It says, work out your own salvation, but then it goes on, it says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. That's sanctification. It's the process that every one of us who've trusted in Christ are going through right now, being made more and more like Him as we're obedient to the things that He calls us to. That's by faith. That's all a walk of faith, as we trust Him and believe Him. It's not trusting in our own works. It's trusting in Christ's finished work. It is trusting in God's power and ability to complete the work in us. Paul said in Philippians chapter 1 that He who began the good work in you is faithful and He's able to complete it. He'll bring it to completion. Praise God for that. It's God who works in you. These believers in Galatia were thinking it is something that they had to do, some act that they have to perform. And Paul's saying, no, it's by being in fellowship with the Spirit, by walking in submitted faith to Him. He says in verse 4, did you experience so much for nothing? If in fact it was for nothing. In other words, he's saying, listen, if you're going to go down this path of trusting in your own flesh, it's going to end up in fruitlessness. It's going to end up in nothing. It's going to end up in the best you can do, which is emptiness. But Paul is not yet convinced that everything that they believed in the past is in vain. He says, no, it's not yet in vain. He's convinced that God's going to do a work in their heart. So he points them, first of all, to their faith in Christ's finished work on the cross. He points them to their faith by which they received the Holy Spirit at that same moment, who seals and sanctifies the believer. But now he also points them to their faith in the Father, who's at work presently in their life, in and around them. Look in verse 5. So then, does God give you the Spirit and work miracles among you by you doing the works of the law? Or is it by believing what you heard? Your translation may say something like, does He who ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles or wonders among you? The one who gives the Spirit, the one who sends the Spirit, is God the Father. Jesus said when He ascended back to heaven that the Father will give you another Comforter whom I will send, whom the Father will send in My name, Jesus said. It's the Father that sends you the Spirit, and you're in relationship with God the Father, the eternal One who has created all things. The whole Trinity is the eternal Godhead, and what Paul is saying here is that you're in fellowship with the triune God by faith, not by your works. He repeats it with each person of the Trinity to drive home the point that we walk by faith, not by works. Now, what Paul is doing is he's asking the question, how did you begin? Did you begin by work? Or did you begin this Christian life by faith? And the answer in each case is it's by faith. But then he wants them to see who they have believed. In whom have you believed? Look in verses 6 and 7. Paul points back to the example of Abraham. He says, just like Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness. He's pointing back to Abraham because it's in Abraham that we understand that we get the first picture of justification by faith. It's Abraham, by the way, who is 430 years before the law was ever given. That Abraham, who's the one that God called out from Ur of the Chaldees and left his own home and kindred and country and pursued after God by faith, not knowing where he was going. And that's what he references here. I want you to look at a couple of verses with me. First of all, I want you to look with me at Genesis chapter 12. You can find Genesis. Keep your finger there in Galatians. Just turn back to the beginning of the Bible. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Here's God's call to Abram. The Lord God said to Abram, go out from your land, your relatives, your father's house, to the land that I will show you. Notice next he gives him a roadmap, right? He tells him exactly how to get there. He says, you're going to go up this highway here from Ur of the Chaldees, and you're going to go in this highway towards the east, and then take a left, you're going to get on I-49 after you take that left, and you're going to drive a little bit further, and then you're going to come to exit 24, and you're going to get off on exit 24 and take a right past the Shell station and drive down Dean Springs Road to Highway 71, take a right, and then take your first left, and you're right here, right? That's all there. You see that? No, you don't see anything. He says, go to the land that I will what? Did he give him a roadmap? No. In Hebrews it says, Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. All he knew was he was following the God who called him. He was walking by faith, believing that God would lead him to the place. Verse 2, Genesis chapter 12. Here's God's promise. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you, I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, I will curse anyone who curses you or treats you with contempt. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. Wouldn't you like that promise? Where God says to you personally, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to make you a great name. I'm going to make you great. People are going to hear about you, your name's going to be great, your descendants are going to fill the earth, and listen, whoever curses you, they're going to be cursed. Whoever blesses you is going to be blessed too. Wouldn't you like that promise? Guess what? You've received that promise through the Lord Jesus Christ. When you entered into faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that you've entered into the blessing of faith that Abraham received. Verse 3, I'll bless those who bless you. I'll curse anyone who treats you with contempt. All the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. You become part of that blessing. You've inherited it when you accepted Christ. Now look at verse 4. So Abram went as the Lord had told him. Lot went with him. He was 75 years old. It's never too late to trust God. 75 years old when he left Haran. He took his wife Sarai, nephew Lot, all that they had accumulated, and he left. They set out for the land of Canaan. God hadn't told him where yet, but God just told him go. And in faith, he went. Now turn over to Genesis chapter 15. Abram, after rescuing his nephew, Lot, from a great war, after paying tithes, Melchizedek says in Genesis 15:1, after these events, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your reward, your exceeding great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what can you give me since I am childless? And the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Abram continued, look, you have given me no offspring, so a slave born in my own house will be my heir. Catch this. Now the word of the Lord came to him this one will not be your heir. Instead, one who comes from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look at the sky. Count the stars, if you're able to count them. Then he said to them, your offspring will be that numerous. Now, verse 6, this is what Paul quotes. Abram believed God. Abram believed God, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Abram trusted God's promise. Abram put his faith, he banked solely upon what God had said. And he said, I'm going to trust God. I'm not going to trust man's promise. I'm going to trust God. And because I trust God, I'm going to do what God has called me to do. At this point in his life, Abram says, I don't see the way. I don't see how, Lord, but you've said this is what you're going to do. I'm going to believe you. Even when I don't understand it, even when I don't see the way forward, even when I look around me and I see I don't have a son. The only person who can inherit all this is Eliezer. Not, yeah, I like him. He's a great guy, but he's not my son. Lord, how's this to be? And God says, it will be. You will have a son. And the Bible says Abram believed God's promise. And because he believed God, God gave him righteousness. Was it a work that Abram performed? No, it was simple faith in God's promise. It was simple faith in God's word. For you and I, we've entered into the same promise. When we said, Lord, I don't understand how I can be reconciled with you in my own effort. That's impossible. From a human perspective, we would have to climb the highest mountain without oxygen. But that's not what God has laid forth. What God has done is, rather than us climbing up the mountain, he has come down and died in our place in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's by faith in his death, burial, and resurrection that we are now united with God, not by our own effort. So Paul points back and reminds them of the God in whom they believe. Now quickly, I want you to see some evidences of faith from Abram. First of all, there's the evidence of repentance. You say, well, where do you see that? Well, the Bible says that Abram went out. He went out from his own country. That's repentance. You say, how is that repentance? Well, it's returning from his old lifestyle, which, by the way, we find out later that his father worshipped idols. Abram's father was possibly even an idol maker, Terah. But anyway, Abram turns from that old lifestyle and he chooses to follow God, no matter where God would lead him. That's repentance. Repentance is simply turning from ourselves and from our sin and from our self-effort and turning to God and trusting in his promise and in his word. But then you also see faith. He trusted God's promise and he went as the Lord had told him. But then you see the fruit of faith. Abram believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. It was imputed. It was added to his account. It was not his own righteousness that he received. It was the righteousness of God, which is perfect. And you and I, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, have not received our own righteousness, rather we have received the perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when God looks at you and God looks at me, he does not see our best, he does not see our worst. He does not see our sin, he does not see our works. What he sees is the perfect, completed work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Praise God for that. Finally, are you walking? Are you walking in the blessing? Are you walking in the blessing of faith personally, which is justification? Look in verse 8. Now the scripture saw in advance that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. This was God's pattern from the beginning, that he would justify you and me through faith. Are you walking personally in that justification? Is there a time in your life when you said, I'm going to stop trusting my own work and effort to please God, and I'm going to completely trust in what Jesus has done for me? Was there a time when you asked Jesus to save you? When you put your faith and trust in him and entered into that big word, justification, that righteousness that God so freely offers you, Christ's righteousness. Was there a time? Are you personally walking in the blessing of faith of justification? Are you personally walking in the blessing of faith through you to others? I trust that most of you here this morning are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, but if there's somebody here that's not, there's going to be a moment where you can respond in faith in just a moment. But before we do, I want to close this section out by saying, God didn't just do this for Abram just so that Abram could be blessed alone. God did this for Abram so that Abram could be made a blessing. And through him, the Lord Jesus Christ would come and become a blessing to all the earth. The blessing of faith to others. Abram was made a source of God's blessing to the world. You say, how in the world is that possible? Well, it's not, humanly speaking, but it's what God did because Abram trusted in him. And he simply said, I'm going to trust what God promises. Look in verse 8 again. It says, now the scripture saw in advance that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and proclaim the gospel ahead of time to Abram, saying, all the nations will be blessed through you. Consequently, those who have faith are blessed with Abram, who had faith. Are you personally walking in the blessing of faith? Have you personally received the blessing of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ? If that's not something you've done, in just a moment there's going to be a time for you to make that decision. But believer, you're here today and you say, yes, Brother Nathan, I've done that. I did that many years ago. The question for you is, are you walking in the blessing whereby God works through you to bless others? Whereby God extends the blessing that began with Abraham and came down through the Lord Jesus Christ and then through the centuries came down to you, and then now you, God wants to make you a channel, a source of blessing others so that they can receive the Lord Jesus Christ as well. Are you with me? You understand what I'm saying? What God wants to do through you is the same thing he did through Abram, who trusted in him. He wants to make you, first of all, he wants to save you. That's where it starts. But then once you're saved, he wants you to become a blessing by spreading the good news to other people. I close with one final illustration. Last week, week before last, as we were witnessing, funny how God uses a closed door to lead you. There was a young man that came to know the Lord, but the way in which God chose to do it was we were visiting with another young man about 16 years old and shared the gospel with him, got to the point, and there were tears in his eyes. And it got to the point where, would you like to receive Jesus as Savior? And his mom heard it from the kitchen. She came rushing forward and said, we're Jehovah's Witness, and pulled him back inside and said, you have to leave. We didn't even have a chance to leave him anything. Simply our prayers. But as we turned to go, one of the girls in the group said, Nathan, should you talk to that guy across the street? And I didn't even see him. And I looked, and I still couldn't see him. I was like, I don't see anybody over there. What are you talking about? She said, well, he just went around the corner of the house. And so we went over there and met a young man named Alan who just graduated from high school. Come to find out, Alan had not been to church in over 10 years. I asked him, well, who do you believe Jesus is? He said, I believe he's Jehovah's son. And so I said, well, you know, if you were to die today, you're standing before the Lord, would the Lord let you into heaven? Well, I hope so. I don't know. And we began to share the gospel with him. And got to the end, and he said, yes, I want that. I want to receive the Lord Jesus. One of the ladies in the group that I was with said she was surprised that he just so simply said yes. And so she said, well, we got to share the gospel with him again. Make sure he understands. And so she went through the gospel again and got to the end. He said, yes, I want salvation. And so very simply, he asked that we would lead him in a prayer, and he said, it's not this prayer that's magic. It's not us praying over you. It's you talking to God in the sincerity of your heart. And we simply said, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I know that you came and died on the cross to save me and then rose again to life. I ask you now to save me and to come into my life. And he prayed that prayer. At the end, I asked him, do you have a Bible? And he said, yeah, I've been reading it. He hadn't been to church in 10 years. Hadn't heard the gospel ever presented. He said, I've been reading it, underlining it, but he never heard the gospel. Come to find out, he was leaving the next morning to go to Iceland for a few months. God has placed you and I around people to whom he wants us to be a blessing, to carry forward the blessing that we've received of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you don't know. See, Satan would convince you they don't want to hear it. For a lot, they don't. For some, they receive it, but then they say, I want more time to think about it. But there are people in your life that God has uniquely placed you so that you can be the channel of blessing to somebody who is ready to receive the gospel. Are you part of that blessing? Would you stand with me this morning? Becky's going to play. If you're here this morning and you have never trusted Christ as Savior, you've never entered into the blessing of faith, you've never received that joy of having your sins forgiven and being made clean and receiving Christ's perfect, spotless righteousness, I'd invite you, as every head's bowed and every eye's closed at this moment, to simply pray if that's what you would desire to do. Simply pray, Lord Jesus, make this your own prayer. I'm a sinner, and I can't save myself. I believe that you came to earth, lived a perfect life, died on my behalf, and rose again. I believe you've given me the offer of eternal life. I ask you to save me now and come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. If that's your prayer this morning, I'd invite you to do something that takes a little bit of courage. But I can guarantee every person here is your friend.